what you say of me, Jesus.
Sing it like you mean it. If our God is for us,
yeah.
give him praise. I cannot tell you how thankful I am to be with you tonight. Play that guitar. Oh, yes. You won't grow weary. Oh, yes. The everlasting God. Play that guitar on out. Play that guitar on out. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends and foes, even foes in the family, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. as I continue to preach in your hearing, pardon me, history repeats itself. America and the West are now Sodom and Gomorrah, and will reap, and they are reaping, similar consequences. Genesis chapter 19, verses 1, and I think I'm going to read to verse 13. It is very important that you get this historical passage in your mind so that you can prepare for the judgments to come and that are here. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. I want to get you out of this square into my house. I want you to be well fed and taken care of, and then I want to get you out of this wicked town as quickly as possible. This is what compromisers do. Pastors, visiting pastors, have had to do this, or rather get this treatment when they visit the renowned pastor in his city, when he has compromised the word of God and he's living as a hypocrite. I know for a fact, supporting pastors of missionaries, when they visit the mission field, and they get the similar treatment that Lot is giving to these angels. They had a very godly and holy look about them. That's why Lot bowed to them. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. See, holy and godly beings, angels, they have no fear, which they will prove later. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So unleavened bread has been around a long time. You will find that the Jews, God's chosen people, have impacted the whole world in so many ways. I did not learn until the other day, the flat bread that you eat with Mexican food, that was inspired by Jews, not Mexicans. the Jews who moved to Mexico when they were scattered to Mexico. They brought their unleavened bread with them, that flatbread we call tortillas or whatever, soft or hard. That's inspired by the Jews, God's chosen people. You will be amazed how the Jews' faith in God has influenced the world. So many ways. And all of the countries of the world. And this is why I keep telling you, do not mess with God. God has his plans, and you may have yours. But make sure they don't go up against God's. Because all things work together for the good. Anyway, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot. I told you about this last night, but this is such a terrible thing. Most of the men walking in the so-called Sodomite homosexual Proud Month parade were old men with their gonads out, with their penises out. And you sweet evangelicals who want me not to say certain things, leave me alone, because that has not worked. Your way has not worked. It has messed up your family, families in the church. It has messed up the church. It has messed up the school district. It has messed up the city. It has messed up the county. It has messed up the state. And it has messed up this country, the West, and the world. So I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear your mess. I really don't. Because it didn't work. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into this night? And no doubt people who are wicked and evil and ungodly in their hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, they see something that looks like it's holy, like innocent children, and they want to defile them. They want to molest them. They want to rape them. And I believe some of this was going on here. Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, if know them meant let's sit around and drink some tea or lemonade and get to know one another and have a conversation, if it meant that, then Lot would not have done what he did. He said they're trying to do wickedness with these men. These men sent by God, angels, knew all about it. God had enough. And you do not want to get in God's way when God has had enough. Behold, now I have two daughters. You want these two men? I will give you my two daughters, which have not known man, virgins, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. In other words, Lot said, you can have your way with my daughters, my flesh and blood. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back, that is the old and the young homosexuals, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. In other words, they were saying to Lot, we'll rape you. We'll sodomize you. We will homosexualize you, Lot. They didn't want the beautiful virgin young ladies. They wanted men. And they pressed sore upon the man, and as only the King James Version can say it, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, that is the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them. Now we don't know, and shut to the door. We assume that they opened the door and reached out and grabbed Lot, but they had the power to reach through the door and grab Lot. So, I mean, we don't know. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, not like you have seen in the movie that the man made, who is associated with the beautiful woman who my wife knows and my children know, after a great day in church on Sunday. Years ago, we would lie down on the floor and watch Touched by an Angel. And I have to admit, my mind sometimes was not in the right place. Because I think her name is Roma Downing or something like that. But she was one beautiful English woman. And so I was halfway into the show, and sad to say, halfway into her. I might as well just tell the truth and shame the devil. But we loved that show back in the day. Her husband created a movie about this scene, and they did the best they could, but it was nothing like what it says in the Bible. I'm not mad at anybody. Both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said, I mean, they wore themselves out trying to find the door. See, they were still trying to get these men. Blind as they could be, they wore themselves out. I can see them right now, worn slap out, sitting on the front porch. Where are these men? Can't find the door. Again, do not mess with God. God can do just a little bit and have you totally messed up. Not lifting a finger and have you totally jacked up. Leave God alone. Do not mess with God with your foolishness. And stop thinking that you can defeat God. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city. If you need to go down to the U-Haul place and get your stuff, it's time to go. Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And when God sends people and angels on a mission, that is what is going to happen, my dear friend. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, hallowed be your name tonight. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us from your holy word that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you tonight. Help everyone else to pray under the sound of my voice. I praise you and thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us down through the years in our lives in very special ways. And Holy Father God, thank you for showing me today how that one of the reasons why precious memories are so precious is because they are living memories. They are so vivid, as I have noticed and have mentioned in the past, that they're right there with us. And they're so vivid and they're so real and they're living memories because you're the one who created those memories. You're the one who worked those thousands of miracles and thousands of answers to prayer and thousands of deliverances that brought us through. And you do not want us to forget them. And so I give you the glory, praise, and honor, not only for the miracles and the answered prayers and the deliverances, but the living memories that you give to those of us who have, by your grace and your mercy, served you. And Lord, I pray that you would have mercy and grace upon all of us who name the name of Christ and who believe in Christ tonight. Please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Wash and cleanse our hearts, our minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify, Holy Father God, our wicked flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, and our temperaments in a very real sense that we will not sin against you. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would deliver those of us who are saved in my family, in this audience, in this country, and around the globe from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the glory. And Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins and get back to you, our first love. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Lord, crucify our flesh, each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to tell the truth and acknowledge that we are weak and we need your strength and your might. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will indeed save those who are lost in my family, in this audience, and in Christian families that name the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. I pray, Holy Father God, I thank you that my wife, Marika White, did get saved. She made a profession of faith on March the 4th. She was doing pretty good up until June when I started preaching your holy gospel and your holy word again nearly every day. And the devil has been fighting against me, as always, when I do that. And she has not done well this month at all. And so, Holy Father God, you know how her growth patterns will be. But this month of June of my preaching nearly every day and doing many other things in the ministry that she has helped with, but she has reverted back to her old ways when I had to preach on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays and then preached your holy gospel and your holy word for over 7 years. 4 years before the plague, 3 years through the plague. And the devil worked through her to fight against me every day, as my children have witnessed, and I have seen, and you have seen down through the years. And for some reason, she could not get it together for this month. We're almost at the end. I pray that she will take in a little Shakespeare and understand that all's well that ends well. Help her to rally by tapping into your power and your strength, as I have taught her and I have told her. Now that she's saved, born again, she can tap into your strength and power and not listen to the devil, not listen to her devilish family members, not listen to devilish people, but to keep her eyes on the prize, keep her eyes on you. So, Lord, I pray that you would confirm her salvation, cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, and Sanballat and Tobias out of her heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And not so much in front of other people, because she'll put on the dog in front of other people, but behind the scenes, satanically, demonically, egged on by the devil to try to provoke a problem. And she and I are basically in our 60s, and we don't have time. I don't have time for that foolishness. And I pray that she will grow up and mature. As you know, I just thanked my oldest two daughters, Danny and Daniel, Danny and Danita, rather, that for rising to the occasion to help take care of their siblings, and they also helped to take care of me and cooking food for me as well. They rose to the occasion. They didn't have to. They had to, but they rose to the occasion because they saw their mother was not going to act mature enough to do so. And it taught them a lot of things, but they missed a lot of their young teenage years because of that foolishness and that Marika White has done. And I do pray tonight that you would save her soul for sure, confirm her salvation, save the soul of her mother, her aunts, her siblings, her family members. Save, Lord, the religious souls of my mother and my siblings. And Lord, remind them, because of our age and because of certain diseases that run in our family, it's almost time for us to leave the earth as well. So Lord, help all of us, as I have told my children, to pray the life prayer. God, prepare us for good days and bad days. God, prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. God, prepare us for weddings and funerals. God, prepare us for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. And Holy Father God, I thank you for the fact that my daughter Danita Evangeline, the missionary, my oldest daughter Danny is a missionary as well, has been on the mission field. And I hope all of my children will go on mission trips and do missionary work. But Danita Evangeline, I believe, has been on the most. Her birthday starts here in a few minutes. And I gave her that name, Evangeline, based upon what you called me to do, and that is to be an evangelist. And no one worked harder. All of my children worked hard, but no one worked harder than Danita Evangeline from the time she was a little child in the work of the Lord, and was a bona fide leader of others who looked up to her and respected her as she served the Lord. A lot of what, Lord, we are doing online has been because of her and her siblings. So bless her birthday, starting here in a few minutes. Thank you for leading me to lead the way in saying happy birthday. And it's not only, Lord, as I reminded her tonight, not only her physical birthday, but this is the day she got saved. And she's one of the children who cried when she got saved. It really meant a lot to her. In a few hours, we will be celebrating her spiritual birthday and her physical birthday. Her spiritual birthday started on her 7th birthday, and it meant the world to her. And it still does to this day. And she was the first one to wish me a happy Father's Day. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for her life. And I thank you for all of the precious memories. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do praise you and thank you for the precious memories that you've given me with all of my children and in serving you most of all. For that is the most important thing. And now, Holy Father God, I do pray. I pray for the salvation of the lost, the revival of the saved, the healing of the sick, comfort of the grieving, crucify the flesh and the old man of in all of my children in Marika White's life. Fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. I know most of my children are saved. They acted like they were saved. Lord, I thank you for giving me some of the best children in the world. I am still concerned about one or two who maybe got to slip the Mickey. And Lord, help them to examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. I pray, Holy Father God, save those who are lost in this country and around the globe. Revive those who are saved. Heal those who are sick. Comfort those who are grieving. We pray, Lord, for people who have been led astray into wicked lifestyles. Lord, deliver them from being entrapped. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will indeed lift all of our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, anxiety burdens, troubles, problems, and fears from our feeble hearts and minds, souls, and spirits, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, I do praise you and I thank you for the ability to take pleasure in infirmities and persecutions and to be able to glory in them. At the same time, Holy Father God, I know you have the power to deliver us from them, so I still pray that you deliver me and my family and all other Christians from the tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions that we're facing. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from our distresses and afflictions. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver us all from our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems. Lord, wipe out all indebtedness and all issues and problems that way. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. And I want to thank you for remembering mercy, love, and grace upon us, even while chastising us. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight, once again, that you would protect my family and all other Christian families that are standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. Red, yellow, black, and white in this country and around the globe. Thank you, Lord, for your servants. Thank you, Lord, for those that you have saved and have cleansed with your blood. And Lord, I thank you for the 7,000, the remnant church, and the faithful few. I thank you for all of them, and I thank you for the love in my heart for all of them. And I pray that, Lord, they would continue to stand and hold up the blood-stained banner and say with the Marines, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. And say with the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra, always above. And, Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would bless and protect us from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell tonight, from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Holy Father God, upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. afresh and anew and make us whiter than snow. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Lord, have everything we do and say to be done for your glory, your praise, and your honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Dr. David Guzik said, now back at the infamous city, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, indicating he was a civic leader, maybe the mayor. And this is not unheard of regarding God's chosen people. You'll be amazed at how many people who are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, across the globe in every country, who are civic leaders, who lead in politics. They may not always be chosen by the Gentiles to lead the whole shebang, but they're right up there in a leadership role. So this is not shocking that Lot, who went to sojourn as the homosexual sodomite said, rose to the top. The Jews are the cream that always rise to the top. Always. The gate area of an ancient city was sort of a town hall, if you will, a community center, a gathering place. My wife and I were in a little town just yesterday, very little town, and right at the entrance of the city was what they call City Hall, a little old building on the side of the road. The gate of the city, a town hall, a public square where the important men of the city judged disputes, conferred with one another, and supervised those who entered and left the city. And I say, thank God for the people who are called to do civic work like that, to do government work, who have the ability to guide you, to take care of your business. Even to this day, there's things that everybody in the city, in the county, in the state depend upon you to do as a citizen. You need to have your registration in your car. You need to have insurance that will take care of somebody else if you hit them. That needs to be somewhere in your car. And there are many other things that citizens have to do. And there are government officials who are called by God to do that busy work that you hate to do, but you must do. And you hate it so much that there are people who will guide you through it to do it, because it must be done. Especially when it comes down to the taxes. They will help you pay your taxes. This is busy work to you, but it must be done. I tell people all of the time, you can move to Texas, but the name is going to change on you to Taxes. For if you have a house in Texas, you may not have to pay taxes on food, but you're going to pay taxes to live in that house, and you're going to pay a whole lot. Pardon me. Lot himself was a righteous man, a believer in God, who was grieved by the sin he saw around him, but he chose to live there. It's a beautiful place. Kind of like San Francisco. Second Peter chapter 2 verses 7 through 8 talks about that. But because of his deep compromise, few of his family and none of his friends were saved. Lot did not stand for God as he should have. Like many of our Jewish people in this country, many of our Christian people in this country, pardon me, they get into politics and they compromise. That's the name of the game. When you're in the people's house, you have to do what the people want you to do, not what God wants you to do. That's why we have the mess on the streets today with all of this so-called Pride Month demonic foolishness. Oh, and by the way, let me be the first to tell you, democracy is one of the better forms of government, but it's not the best. Theocracy is the best, because then God rules. No wonder God had a problem with the Israelites forsaking him and wanting a king like everybody else. God knew it was going to be a mess. And America is a mess today because it is ruled by the people. Now, America would not be that much of a mess if the Christian people had done what they were supposed to do, instead of, like Lot, compromising on what the Word of God says. Right on down the line. Or you want to trace the chaos we have in the streets today with grown, ugly, old men walking. Old, ugly men. I said old, ugly men. White and black and red and yellow walking down the street with their gonads and their little penises hanging out for the children and the sick women out there looking at them and giving them a high five. For what? If your neighbor called, they saw you walking butt naked in front of your little toddlers and your children, they saw you in the window walking butt naked, mommy, in front of your children, they would call the police and point at you, and they would arrest you for doing that with your own children in your own house. But all of a sudden, after years of allowing this foolishness to go on, we have grown men in their 60s and 70s walking down the street today in America, butt naked. And you think I'm crazy? All of that could have been prevented if God's people had held on and had not forsaken their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as saved good people stay in power, then it would be better. But when saved good people compromise like Lot and start voting with the homosexuals and voting for the homosexuals and the sodomites, you have this mess. And generations of minds have been blown just from this month alone. Little children are going to grow up thinking it's okay for a grown man to walk down the street in a parade with a tambourine in his hand, butt naked, and see their mama give him a high five. On bicycles, butt naked, all across the country. What? See, that's demonism. That's demon activity. Demon possession. Nobody in their right mind sees any need in doing that. But don't blame them. Blame the bishops and the pastors and the so-called church leaders. Blame the Catholics, the evangelicals, the Protestants, the independent Baptists and independent Methodists, and the charismatics and their prosperity gospel. You want me to run down how we got here? Just a little bit. Well, in the church compromised on divorce and remarriage. You can be a member now in the church and you're living in adultery with two wives in the church. Don't tell me I know of a situation like that. It's okay now to get a divorce and marry somebody else, marry who you want. No grounds whatsoever. God said in the Old Testament, the Son of God said in the New Testament, they hate divorce and remarriage. I'm just sharing with you how we got here. You see, if you compromise a little over here, you're going to start compromising a lot over here, like just like Lot. Then the prosperity lying gospel. The church caught up in making money, getting money, and lying about money. When Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. Then constant revelations about pastors and pastors' wives committing adultery, living in adultery. There's no telling how many pastors who have been divorced and remarried. And then they started swinging. Going to Ashley Madison, I know of at least two pastors who committed suicide because their names were caught. They were caught on Ashley Madison. Two respected men. I said two that I know. There's no telling how many others. One young man who was supposed to be a great Christian is in jail tonight. He was caught on Ashley Madison trying to be slick. So from divorce and remarriage, the prosperity gospel, to swinging in the church and lying and saying, well, we're swinging because it keeps our marriage together and our marriage alive. You're a lot of hell. You will be divorced if you're not divorced already. Because nobody wants you after you've been used by somebody else. I don't know of any man who does. Some other man had his way with you, and he's in the church with you and with us. No man is going to want that kind of a thing. He's a very weak man if he does. But no man wants to touch. No man wants another man to touch his wife and then face him. Women may want that, and it's not a big deal. But with men, not a real man, they don't want that. They don't want to know, they don't want to have in their mind that you had your way with my wife. The devil is a lie. And then pastors and pastors' wives started getting into homosexuality. People in the church started doing it. And then since they were known as homosexuals and lesbians, they said, well, we might as well let the other homosexuals in. But they didn't realize what the sodomites and the homosexuals were going to do. I told you what they were going to do years ago, and they told you 2 or 3 days ago. They said loud and clear, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. And that's what they're doing, and they're not playing. That's not just a chant. And now you're trying to beg them not to go for your children. No, they got you right where they want you now. All of you prosperity gospel preachers and people talked about how that the wicked was going to turn over their wealth to you. No. The church turned over their wealth to them. They are very rich with the church's money. Billions of dollars have been turned over to sodomites, homosexuals, lesbians, the LGBTQ. Because you raped the people who are now sodomites, homosexuals, and lesbians. And you thought you were going to get away with it. You're reaping what you have sown. That's why you endorsed and you sanctioned it. Yes, the church. And if you had not done so, they were going to expose you and get more money from the church. I didn't say millions, I said billions of church money funds LGBTQ, sodomite, homosexual law firms, nonprofits, and they bought you. Look at me now, listen to me real good. They bought the big name pastors by giving you back the money you gave them. When you did your evil, hush, hush, and you did your dirt. It's a terrible thing for somebody to have some dirt on you. And that will cause you to compromise and to shut your mouth. Otherwise, you will be exposed. And the sodomites and the homosexuals, they do not mind exposing you. You say, preacher, aren't you concerned and worried about the sodomites and the homosexuals getting mad at you at your preaching or like you preach? I've been preaching like this for many years. I am not concerned about the homosexuals and the sodomites exposing me about nothing. You know why? Because they don't have anything on me. Not like they have on you. Pastor in the bed with a man. Pastor's wife in the bed with a woman. Both of you sharing a young person, a youngin'. By the way, I heard this today. I'm going to pass it on. I don't know how true it is. But the sex traffickers, they're putting poison on a cloth. and leaving it on the gas handle at gas stations or putting it on your car. And as soon as you touch it, in a few minutes, you're going to pass out. And then they pick you up. They scoop you up. So I just wanted to pass that on. Compromise. Compromise right on down the line. And you've compromised just like Lot to the point. You're trying to reason with these devils. And you cannot reason with the devil. You cannot reason with a demon-possessed person. Their mentality is that they're coming for you. They're coming for your friends, your holy, godly-looking friends. They're coming for your children. And if I were you, I know you want your, I know you love how the American system of education, they take your children for 9 months and it's like a vacation to you from your children so that you can whoremonger around and whore around and get drunk and get high and go here and go there while they're in school. Let me tell you something. For those of you who have sense, that lifestyle is over. Get your children out of these hellhole schools. Otherwise, your little girl named Betty is going to demand you call her Butch. And she's going to get her breast cut off while you are out there with your girlfriends are whoring around with some man somewhere. She's going to get a bald head as well. And she's going to have a penis attached to her body while you doing your dirt. You need to humble yourself down, sober yourself up, get your children out of these hellhole public school systems now. Because they've already made up their minds. They're coming for your children. That's been afoot for years now. And you don't have the power. The church had the power to stop this foolishness a long time ago. You want to get mad at somebody? Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at Jesus. Look at me real good. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. I'm talking to you pastors too. Don't get mad at the sodomite homosexuals. Somebody in the church is going to have to admit that they beat them. That the homosexuals and the sodomites won fair and square, if you will. I'm not going to say it because I'm still fighting against them, even if I have to fight alone. But don't blame them only. Blame the bishops who sodomize little girls and little boys over the altar. Walked around with their beautiful robe on, but naked underneath, ready to rape a child, ready to put their penis in a child's mouth. Blame the nuns who put crucifixes and rape little girls' vaginas with crucifixes. Rape the deacons, rather, blame the demon. I'm reminded of what Dr. Charles McKinney said. Some deacons need the board put on them. They need to get off the deacon board and somebody needs to put the board on them. And Wake Forest pretty much has the name right, demon deacons. Right? And that's a Southern Baptist school. I don't know where they got that name from. But it's a good name for what we got going on in the church today. Demon deacons. Blame the trustees. Blame the pastor's wife. You need to blame God. Don't blame Jesus. Don't blame the Word of God. Blame the spirit of Lot that caused you to compromise the Word of God. Don't blame the sodomites and the homosexuals blamed the spirit of Lot out there in front of his house, pleading, offering up his daughters to be raped by these monsters. And they didn't even want his daughters. Out there pleading and saying, don't do so wickedly. You know why he had to do that? Because he knew how wicked they were. That's why he wanted to get these men out of the street. And the men knew what was going on, because they said, no, we're going to stay out here in the street all night. But being good guests, they went ahead and submitted to Lot. In front of his own house, they were getting ready to break down the door. These sodomite homosexuals, old and young, they wanted those men to them. That was fresh meat to them, just like your children are fresh meat. Compromise. Compromise destroyed Lot's testimony. And compromise, every time, will destroy your testimony. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your powerful Holy Word and your powerful Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of thousands and millions. And Lord, for nothing is too hard for you. I pray that your people would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways and repent and get back to you, their first love. Thank you, Holy Father God, for your remnant, your 7,000 and your faithful few. We have not bowed the knee to the Baal of sodomy and homosexuality. And I pray, Lord, tonight that those who are blinded and who got caught up into something that they would not have gotten caught up in if they had heard the gospel from the church, if they had gotten saved, they would not be in the mess that they're in today. So, Lord, open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and save their souls, even tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us tonight and you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have never understood the gospel, or you have never heard the gospel, allow me to share with you some bad news and then some good news. The good news is the gospel. But to understand the good news, you must understand the bad news. Bad news number one, you are a wicked, evil, ungodly, no good sinner. And so am I. So is the Pope. So is the Dalai Lama. And so is Joel Osteen. By the way, the Pope is so wicked. Today or yesterday, he welcomed a man, an artist so-called, to the Vatican, shook his hand and everything, who put a cross in a bottle of urine. So we know he's wicked too. Everybody's wicked. Everybody is a sinner. For God's word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have told lies, lusted in our hearts for things and people, stole things. When I was a youngster, I stole a Bible out of the classroom. Dishonored and disrespected parents, dishonored and disrespected God by taking His name in vain. Committing adultery, committing fornication, committing homosexuality. God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're no better than anybody else, and nobody's better than you. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will descend into hell. Bad news number two, you're going to die. That's guaranteed. The Holy Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And here's the reason why you're going to die. God said the wages of sin is death. And only God would know that, so you know that the Bible is God's word. The Gallup poll has never done a poll for that. For billions of people, they couldn't do it anyway. And they wouldn't know whether or not the people were telling the truth or not. God made it very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. I have warned my children. I have told my children. Because of Pharaohistic pride and Jamaican pride that runs deep in our family, I told them they need to start praying the life prayer. I told everybody in the family, start praying the life prayer, because that kind of pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness that is in my family oftentimes leads to an early death. And I told them to pray the life prayer. God, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and funerals. Prepare us for life and death. Because we're all going to die. It is an appointment with death that we have. And the reason why we die is because of our sins. And I believe that millions have died because of the sin of pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, disobedience, won't listen, the practice of witchcraft. Rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. And that may be your sin as well. You're proud, you're stubborn. You're hearing me right now, but you have no intention on doing what I'm telling you because you want to go your own way. You want to be like Frank Sinatra and saying, I'll do it my way. But your way and my way is not the right way. God's way through Jesus Christ is the only way. For Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So bad news number three, dear friend, you're going to die. Number two, number three, you're going to go to hell. And you're going to burn in hell forever if you do not humble yourself and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, your eternal soul. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Why? Because He loves you and He does not want you to go to hell. He warned the whole world not to go to hell. Believe in me. Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb of God who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for everybody in the world. John the Baptist made it clear. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's your sin and mine. He suffered voluntarily, bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God to save our souls from hell. And when Jesus Christ preached on hell, he made it very clear. It is a place where the fire shall never be quenched. So, my dear friend, hear the words of Jesus Christ that he said one night, the most loving words ever said in the history of the world, the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world, and the most important words ever said in the history of the world. For they will save your soul from the burning hell and give you eternal life in heaven with him. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. I did it December the 19th, 1979, raised in at least five different churches, but I was lost and on my way to hell. My dad was a preacher. My mother claimed to be a preacher too. Religious, but lost. Even if you are a church-going person, you may be religious and church-going, but lost and on your way to hell. You hear me pray every night for my family members who are very religious, but I believe they're lost and not saved. And so you may be that way. I'm preaching to the religious crowd and the irreligious crowd. So if you want to be saved tonight, if God, you feel God tugging at your heart, your conscience, your mind, your soul, your spirit, go ahead and get saved tonight. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let your family members talk you out of it. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He took your place. He paid your sin debt. He died, was buried, and rose on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in him. And the Holy Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a wicked, evil sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight, as the preacher said, by lying, by stealing, and by lusting in my heart after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. And help me to repent of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. Help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to obey you from this point forward, and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you truly believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, and you prayed that simple prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, according to the Word of God, according to the words of Jesus Christ, his Son, you are now saved by the grace of God. It does not matter how you feel. As I told you, my daughter Danita Evangeline cried when she got saved. I had one or two more to do that when I led them to the Lord. Some didn't cry at all. And so it doesn't make any difference whether you cry or not. What matters is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not based upon your emotions or your emotional reaction. It's based upon your faith in Christ. And you're praying the prayer in sincerity. So if you have done that, my dear friend, congratulations for doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your personal Savior, and praying to him and asking him to save you. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Remember this day, mark this day. You just got saved on the same day that my daughter Danita Evangeline got saved. And so happy spiritual birthday to her and to you. Mark it down. You're going to want to remember this day. Now, dear friend, to help you grow in the faith and be the strong Christian that God wants you to be and to become a successful Christian, I want you to get your free book from me at GospelLightSociety.com. That's GospelLightSociety.com. Tap on the book or read the book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free gift. Read it all the way through and it will give you the next steps for your newfound Christian life. Also, down near the middle of the page on the front, tap on the Gospel Light Society podcast button, and it will lead you to thousands of podcasts dealing with nearly 50 different subjects. And if you listen, you will grow and become stronger in the faith and know what to do. Email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and now you're saved, so that we can pray for you, pray with you, and rejoice with you. If you have a prayer request, use that same email, dw3, that's my personal email address, dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Or you can .com, or you can email us at gls@gospellightsociety.com. And let us know. And so if you have a prayer request, send it in, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. If you have a question, send that in as well. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, boys and girls, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be back here in a few hours preaching God's word and praying, and you're welcome to come back and be with us. And happy birthday to Denita Evangeline White, the great missionary. And also, remember, pray without ceasing. You don't have to wait till the services to pray. In fact, pray for the services. Pray without ceasing. Read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. And also, remember the motto from the Marines and borrow it for your Christian faith. Semper Fi, always faithful. Semper Fi, always faithful. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force. Semper Supra, always above, always above. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this life, running around with turkeys who can't fly, soar like an eagle, and enjoy your personal relationship with the Lord. I sent a devotional to my children today. It talks about Charles, from Charles Stanley, and he talks about an intimate personal relationship with the Lord is what you need to be developing. And the Lord is available, and he wants to have great fellowship with you. Pray for me as I pray for thee. God bless you, dear friends, as the music plays. God bless you, folks. Lord willing, we'll see you in a few minutes or a few hours. Yes, Lord. Our great